Hi, Rebels. This Financial Literacy Month, Rebel Girls teamed up with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families, to bring you everything you need to be smart with your money and build healthy habits that last a lifetime. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to make smart choices with every penny, whether you're saving for something special or learning to invest. Greenlight gives kids the power to be independent, and grown-ups can trust that their kids have money wherever they are. Sign up at greenlight.com/rebelgirls to get your first month at no cost and start building money confidence for life.
Once there was a girl who would one day race her way to victory using her arms, a set of wheels, and iron-willed determination. Her name is Anne. When Anne was born in 1969 in Kenya, her grandmother called her a blessing on us all. And Anne's parents agreed. Anne would run around, tumbling and playing just like the other kids. But one day, something happened. Her body stopped working the way it used to. First, she couldn't walk. Then, talk. And after a time, she couldn't move her whole body from the neck down. Local healers examined Anne in her 5-room mud hut her family called home. They looked for snake bites, but didn't find any. They gave her natural medicine and whispered healing prayers. In other families, there may have been despair, but Anne's dad, George, was convinced that his child was strong and would do great things. And he was absolutely right. I'm Brenna Huckabee, and this is Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, a fairy tale podcast about the rebel women who inspire us. In this episode, Anne Wafula Strike. Sometime after that scary day, Anne started to regain feeling in her arms, but she was still paralyzed from the waist down, and the reason her body had gone through this big change was still a mystery. In her village, people whispered cruel things, that she was cursed and would make other children sick. Her mother, Ruth, begged the neighbors to stop saying these hurtful things, but there was no stopping the rumors. Finally, looking for peace, the family moved to Nairobi, the capital of Kenya. And it was there that the mystery of what happened to Anne was uncovered. A doctor in Nairobi told George and Ruth that their little girl had come down with polio. Polio is a virus that attacks the nerves in the spine. Usually, kids get a vaccine against polio at birth, but Anne had probably gotten a bad batch. The doctor recommended that she wear a cast from the ribs down to straighten out her legs and spine. Anne hated the cast. It itched and it made it hard to move. But there was still fun to be had, and her brothers and sisters always made sure Anne felt included. They made up games like stacking bottle caps as high as they could go until they toppled over. Her older sisters drew beautiful designs all over her cast every 3 months when she got a new one. Anne's family brought love and light into her life. Anne's parents were determined to give her a good education, so they sent her to boarding school at Joyland School for the Physically Handicapped in Kisumu, Kenya. By that time, her itchy casts had been swapped out for crutches, heavy braces, and big clunky boots. Everything about Joyland scared Anne at first. The loud flushing toilets, indoor showers, the huge swimming pool, and sleeping in a big bed all by herself. Anne was homesick for a while, but she learned to love her new school. And it was there that a seemingly simple moment would foreshadow big things to come. When Anne saw a wheelchair for the first time in her life. Anne's life moved forward, as they all do, with high highs and low lows and everything in between. She lost her mother a few years after starting at Joyland, and her father remarried. Anne eventually moved on to another school, one that was not specifically focused on children with disabilities, where she experienced friendships and happiness, along with losses and frustrations. She excelled in school and eventually graduated and became the first person in her family to go to college. She studied hard and got a degree in education. And in 1994, she landed a gig teaching history, Swahili, and communications at a college. But Anne was exhausted all the time, struggling on her crutches to get to class on time. Each trek across campus felt like running a marathon. If only she could see herself just a few short years later, flying down a racetrack, arms a blur as she spins the wheels of her wheelchair, what would she have thought? After 3 years of teaching, Anne met an Englishman who would become her husband, Norman Strike. He was kind, warm, funny, caring, and he loved Anne with all his heart. Norman had come to Kenya to teach, and they had fallen in love. After Norman went back to England, Anne went to visit him there. She missed home, but she loved Norman, so they decided to get married. Anne moved her life from sunny, warm Kenya to the cold and gray of England. It may not have been a fairy tale, but from Anne's perspective, it was close to perfect. And even though England seemed strange to her, it was much more accessible for disabled people. And it was there, in the doctor's office, that something happened that would change the course of Anne's life forever. While she was pregnant with her son, Timothy, struggling with her crutches and braces had become too much. And so, her doctor actually prescribed her a wheelchair. Suddenly, moving around was so much easier, and her energy levels were through the roof. What would she do with it all? For Anne, everything was so much easier with the wheelchair. She even decided to start going to the gym to work out. She wheeled through the cavernous room full of clanking metal machines and sweaty people working out. The gym manager worked with her to help her find machines she could use with her wheelchair. They finally settled on simple free weights for her arms. Then, one of the trainers spotted Anne working out. They encouraged her to head outside to the track with her chair. One spin around that track, and she was hooked.
Listen, we've all had our embarrassing BO moments, am I right? I once made my friend's Pearl Jam t-shirt stink so badly that she blamed me for the band breaking up. But fear not. Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making sure that none of us have to worry about BO ever again. Unlike many other deodorants, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a whole new way. Lumi delivers 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet, and yeah, that includes your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. As a special offer, new customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code REBELGIRLS at LumiDeodorant.com. I kid you not, the Lavender Sage Cream Tube is definitely on my list of things I must have if I'm stranded on a deserted island. Smell for yourself. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code REBELGIRLS at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code REBELGIRLS. So lift those pits and stay rebel.
Rain or shine, she whizzed down the track, arms spinning her wheels. And as her strength grew, so did her speed. The same trainer who recommended Anne head out to the track approached her again. They asked if she'd ever heard of sports for people with disabilities. Wheelchair javelin, wheelchair basketball, and even wheelchair racing. That one, racing. Anne wanted to try it. So she started working out harder. She lifted weights and used hand cranks to strengthen the muscles in her arms and shoulders. She got a coach, and he managed to secure a real racing chair that was sleek and fast. Her body grew stronger and stronger. Her racing times got better and better. She loved feeling the power in her arms and the breeze on her face as she whizzed by joggers on the track. Then, just for fun, she entered a competition. At first, she was slow, but then she doubled down on her training. Week after week, month after month, Anne crept up on the competition. When another racer in England reminded her that the Paralympic Games were coming up, she decided to take a chance. She called the Kenyan Paralympic office and asked to join the team. Kenya had never competed in wheelchair racing before on the Olympic level, but when the team saw her race, Anne was in. Anne arrived in Athens, Greece for the Games and looked around in complete awe. She met other athletes just like her from all over the world, participating in sports she hadn't even known existed. It was emotional. She couldn't help the tears rolling down her cheeks as she joined the other athletes in the opening ceremonies. When it came time to race, Anne suited up in her uniform and wheeled into her starting position, bursting with pride to represent her home country of Kenya. But when the starting gun went off, she was slower than she should have been. Anne came in last at the 800-meter race. But she made history as the first ever Kenyan wheelchair racer. And the games weren't over yet. With her son and husband cheering from the stands, Anne got ready for the 400-meter. With a breath and a moment, she was off. Arms flying, wheels spinning, she raced one of the best times of her life that day. She admitted later that she was too focused on enjoying the moment to win. She loved every second of competing. Anne continued to race for Kenya with pride, but eventually she was approved for her British citizenship. The English team really wanted Anne to race with them. With a bit of guilt, she told the Kenyan team she would be leaving them to compete for another country. Anne's training got even more intense, with longer hours, more experienced trainers, and better training equipment. She didn't always win, but she broke her own records. She improved her physical fitness and shaved precious seconds off her time. Anne, she used her racing skills for good. She raced for charity, raised money, championed disability rights, and started a foundation to give wheelchairs to children in Kenya and other African countries. In 2007, Anne returned to the Paralympic Games. This time, she was representing her adopted country, England. On the big day, it was pouring rain, and Anne was too nervous to even eat breakfast. She hid in the bathroom right before the race to calm her anxiety. Get it together, she thought. You can do this, Anne. Then she was at the starting line, gripping the cold metal rims with her black-gloved hands. Her heart pounded in her ears. With the crack of a starting pistol, the racers were off. Anne pumped her arms, spinning her wheels as she never had before. When she was only 100 meters away from the end, her arms turned to jelly. Her strength disappeared, and she almost gave up. But suddenly, she heard a voice in her head. It told her to go on. "Come on, Anne. You can do it. You're almost there." She believed that voice. Her energy level spiked, and she pushed and pushed until she crossed the line. Grinning from ear to ear, Anne accepted the bronze medal that day. When journalists asked her what her secret was, she replied, "Never give up." And Anne never has. She still suffers from symptoms related to her childhood polio infection, which can make her tired and uncomfortable. But her body is a machine that crosses continents and flies through finish lines. After moving to England, she became an activist, fighting for the rights of disabled people in her new home. She says it is way past time to reimagine society and break down physical and mental barriers that stand in the way for true inclusion for disabled people. For Anne Waffle a Strike, the fight goes on, and the race is still to be won.
Today's episode was hosted by Brenna Huckabee. Brenna is a professional snowboarder and mother of two Rebel Girls. Brenna won two gold medals in the 2018 Winter Paralympics for snowboard cross and bank slalom. This podcast is a production of Rebel Girls and Boom Integrated, a division of John Marshall Media. It's based on the book series Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls. Our executive producers are Jess Wolf and Katie Springer. This season was produced by John Marshall Cherry, Sarah Storm, and Robin Lai. Corinne Peterson is our production manager. This episode was written by Justine Ware and edited by Katie Springer. Proofread by Ariana Rosas. Original theme music was composed and performed by Alecha Barjocki, who has also sound designed this episode. Mattia Marcelli was the sound mixer. Until next time, stay tuned and stay Rebel!
Can't get enough of Rebel Girls? Well, luckily, the Rebel Girls app is now completely free. That's right. You can listen to the entire library of Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls ad-free. Plus, check out the app's cool features, like activities, trivia, custom playlists, and more. All parent-trusted and kids-safe. Find out more at rebelgirls.com/audio and download the Rebel Girls app today. Thanks for listening.